I just gave a talk about artificial intelligence, hopes and possibilities regarding artificial intelligence. I was just thinking, if we revisit this talk in 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, what will our reactions be? How will things actually pan out? We may think that what I'm saying, or what I just said, sounds very naive or ridiculous. It's hard to say. We don't know where it's all going. One question that arises, why do we talk about artificial intelligence? What is the difference between artificial intelligence and real intelligence? Intelligence is intelligence, wherever it comes from. What is the difference? Well, it might seem obvious that real intelligence, or what previously we always thought of as intelligence, is associated with life, especially human life, although in other species of life there is intelligence also. We have had machines around for quite some time that can do things which humans can also do, but do so more efficiently than humans and more quickly. Just like, for instance, calculating machines, which children nowadays can multiply 367 by 5,243. Tell them, you might have to write it down on a piece of paper and then work it out. But why do you need to? You just enter it. Well, there used to be calculating machines. Now everything's on your smartphone or iPhone. But you just do, press a button, it's there. So that is a function of intelligence, which is being done by machines, but we didn't call that intelligence. What we're looking at nowadays when we talk about artificial intelligence is not just simple functions like this, but complex functions which seem to parallel or even surpass human intelligence. In as much as it's not simply that the machine is programmed to perform a function, but that the machine or the computer or robot or whatever it is can respond to varying stimuli and seemingly take decisions in order to come to a particular result. An example given yesterday in my talk was about machines, computers that train themselves to play chess, and they do so well that they can defeat the best chess players, human chess players, in the world, thoroughly defeat them. So that's one function of artificial intelligence, that machines, they are programmed in such a way to teach themselves. They appear to learn how to perform various functions, how to respond to complex stimuli such that they can, or it's perceived that eventually they will be able to defend themselves against attacks. Already there's talk of, if not already produced, mechanical dogs, which expensive dog robots. They're not dogs, they're robots in the form of dogs, which can be trained to protect their owner, which is one of the things that dogs can do, real live dogs. You can get robots which can act as bodyguards. So these are the kind of things. They're just practically innumerable. And at the present time, we can't even think of all the possibilities that artificial intelligence can undertake. Another example given in the talk that I just gave, translating books from one language to another, which not only does artificial intelligence do it much more quickly, but the very fact that it can do it at all shows symptoms of intelligence. It's a much more complex function than multiplying two numbers together, as in a calculator. But to take one language, and anyone who knows more than one language, especially if the languages are very different languages, just like we could say Spanish and Italian are very close languages, Spanish and Mandarin Chinese are very distant languages. So to translate one to the other requires a deep level of nuanced understanding, and to translate one language to another, Spanish to Mandarin Chinese or vice versa, requires, well, first of all, it's not possible to fully do so. That's another whole discussion in the field of linguistics and psychology and culture, anthropology. But the nuances involved in translating one language to another, difference in concepts, in the meanings of words, difference in grammar and syntax, it requires a tremendous level of intelligence to translate one language to another. And now we have artificial intelligence doing it. So what is the difference between real intelligence and artificial intelligence? It might seem that in some ways artificial intelligence is better than real intelligence, human intelligence. Of course, at the present time, we have intelligence, artificial intelligence, working in a particular sphere, just like translating one language to another, or predicting weather patterns, or predicting and being prepared to respond to the military strategies of an opponent. But human consciousness, human intelligence, is multifaceted. So a human can calculate mathematical calculations, can translate one language to another, can, if not military strategies, then social strategies for dealing with different people. Intelligence is one facet of consciousness, which in human consciousness, it's multifaceted. Will artificial intelligence come to this point? What is the need for that? Is it possible? And the whole question arises, can a machine or a robotic chip or whatever think in the same way as humans do, or humans or chimpanzees or any living organism has some kind of thinking process? Just to give a simple example of how human consciousness, we can understand it to be different to that of machine consciousness or artificial intelligence. A very simple function of a machine is that a machine can be designed that if a red light is shone on the screen of that machine, the machine will say in a human-sounding voice, "I see a red light." But we can understand that when we see a red light, you, me, human, sees a red light, the experience of seeing a red light, that is not what the machine has access to. The machine doesn't experience. The machine can say, I see a red light. A machine can be programmed or can train itself to respond to patients or persons suffering from depression or whatever, to speak to them in a comforting way. The chat is going on with a bot. Someone is saying, oh, ever since my mother died, I've been suffering so much depression. And the artificial intelligence responding can say in a voice which sounds sympathetic, empathetic, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Is there anything I can do to help you? And it sounds like a human, it sounds like there's feeling, but we know there's no feeling behind it. Now, we may say, well, feeling and intelligence, they're not the same thing. We have two sides of our brain, right? One is meant for emotions, and one is meant for rational thinking. But that leads us to the question of what is the nature of intelligence? Intelligence devoid of feeling, what is that? It could be something very dangerous. What is the nature of intelligence, real intelligence? The background of that is consciousness, which intrinsically we can understand artificial intelligence doesn't have. Can we train artificial intelligence to train itself to have feelings? We as humans know that intrinsically linked with our intelligence are emotions, feelings, desires, hopes, ambitions, likes, and dislikes. Why do I prefer strawberries over apples? Or someone else may prefer apples over strawberries. You could get into a deep study of the evolution of the brain structure in people's brains, and why their genetic makeup or their cultural background, and try to give some reason which is simply within the field of physicalism. Try to explain it simply in terms of the chemical makeup of our brains and the world with which we interact. But even if we do that, can a machine be trained to have feelings? And why would you want to do that anyway if the machines are simply meant to serve the humans? So we could say one difference then between artificial intelligence and real intelligence is, or what we have for the centuries up to the present day considered to be intelligence. The difference, one major difference, is that organic intelligence functions not simply for analysis, sensory perception. What we can say the functions of intelligence begins with sensory perception, collection of data, analysis of the data, and then decision making based on what we understand from the data. Now, human intelligence doesn't function exactly in that way. All these stages are there, but when it comes to the point of decision making, not only will we intelligently consider, but we'll often unintelligently consider also. That's where our feelings, likes, and dislikes come into it. For instance, we may decide to do something which is not in our actual self-interest, simply because it appeals to us. I know that smoking a cigarette is not good for my health, but I smoke it anyway because I feel like it. It's not an intelligent decision. Or we may be as if impelled by the force of addiction. Is all that going to be an artificial intelligence? Unlikely. What is the nature of real intelligence? It takes place on the background of consciousness. What is consciousness? This should be considered. How did we come to be conscious, intelligent beings? In many ways, more intelligent than machines, although machines can calculate arithmetical problems very quickly, they can do massive data analysis very quickly, so in some ways more intelligent than humans. But that complex intelligence with likes, dislikes, emotions, feelings, ambitions, philosophical consideration, ethical consideration, that is not there in artificial intelligence. So what is the very nature of consciousness? Another point to be considered, just as an aside, an important aside, is that considering that artificial intelligence has arisen after decades of scientific research by many of the most real intelligent scientists in the world, it's a tremendous achievement of human intelligence that artificial intelligence has come into being. It didn't just arise out of the air. So we may consider that, how does human intelligence come into being? Is it simply by random interaction of chemicals over a long period of time? The idea that by biological evolution, everything comes into being, intelligence arises. The very fact that artificial intelligence has arisen from the ordered, structured, directed intelligence of humans suggests that human intelligence also comes into being on the background of a higher intelligence. It doesn't come about simply by random interaction of chemicals and so on. Now, what is intelligence, human intelligence, real intelligence, as distinguished from artificial intelligence? If we say artificial, the other side must be real or original. So that takes place on the background of consciousness. And neuroscientists, many, they want to establish, or they take it as axiomatic, that consciousness is a function of the brain. And they can seemingly show this to be true by showing that different states of consciousness can be induced by applying chemicals, such as intoxicants, the effects of caffeine, cocaine, and different alcohol. The effects can be studied. And by applying electric stimuli to certain parts of the brain, certain states of emotional states can be induced. So from this they conclude that consciousness and its various states are simply interactions of the neurons within the brain, the synapses, electrical stimuli within the brain. However, there is tremendous, at least anecdotal evidence, and it has been studied scientifically also, which suggests that consciousness can exist independent of the brain functions. Out-of-body experiences is a huge field which is undeniable by anyone who is actually open-minded and scientific. Near-death experiences, reincarnation studies. There is tremendous evidence out there, if we would simply study it, of consciousness existing independent of the brain and even independent of the body, but still focused, such that, just as in an out-of-body experience, the person having that experience no longer sees himself as being in that body, but still identifies as one quantum of consciousness. But what is the nature of consciousness? The very fact of out-of-body experiences suggests that, or indicates that, consciousness is not dependent on the body, is not dependent on the brain, which leads us to consideration of it being a different type of energy altogether. This is, in the Vedic language, called the jiva, the living being, who is separate from matter, but interacts with matter. Conscious living being. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, the supreme teacher of matters transcending the mundane, the transcendental, Lord Krishna teaches that there is material energy and there is spiritual energy. And the major manifestation of spiritual energy that we see within this world is every living being. The body is made of matter. The animation of the body is due to the presence of the living spiritual being, which is separate from matter. The body itself is chemicals. There's no intrinsic life in it, but due to the presence of the soul, we can call it, due to the presence of the soul, the body feels conscious. And sometimes the soul can diverge from the body and still remain conscious. From the gross body, the subtle body, containing as a container for the soul, comes out of the body. But it is the soul that gives life to the body, which is why in any culture in the world, when someone dies, we say they've gone away. Whether you speak English or Polish or Mandarin or Japanese or Swahili, whatever language you speak, when someone dies, they say he or she has gone away. Who, what went away? The body is there. The consciousness is not there. The intelligence is not there. The intelligence which is associated with consciousness, we say, has gone away because the consciousness is separate from matter. Although as long as someone is alive, we just presume that consciousness, intelligence, they're connected with the body. So with consciousness comes intelligence, likes and dislikes, emotions, feelings, ambitions, fate. That is not going to be there in artificial intelligence. One important question. How is it if we say that intelligence or consciousness is simply a function, a material function that is now being reproduced in artificial intelligence, which shows that intelligence, it's just a material function, that's all. It's got nothing to do with any soul or any such thing. But where in all of this intelligence, real intelligence, human intelligence, where does desire come from? Where does like and dislike come from? Where does the sense of good and bad come from? We may say, well, that's come about due to evolution, because each species has a need to perpetuate the species, and therefore the intelligence works in such a way. But why? Where from does the desire come within chemicals to perpetuate themselves? Why should they want to? Why should hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and various other elements combined together desire to remain in a particular type of form, perpetuated into the future? So from the Vedic perspective, consciousness, which is living, which is not a product of matter, that is the background of intelligence. And that consciousness of every living being, of you and me and the consciousness in a bug, is a spark or fragmental representation of the Supreme Consciousness, who is known as Krishna. That is a very big topic, very high topic. We're now discussing the nature of consciousness. So artificial intelligence, okay, it's there. It mimics and in some ways surpasses human intelligence and is modeled on functions that can be performed with human intelligence. But we can never program, we can never program a machine to have feelings, likes, dislikes, ambitions, and so on, nor can we program a machine to develop such feelings. That is the nature of the spiritual living being. Another question which arises when we're talking about real intelligence, we can talk about real intelligence as the kind of intelligence that we've always considered to be intelligence, the intelligence of humans, the intelligence of monkeys, the intelligence of whales. That's real intelligence, after which artificial intelligence is modeled. But then another way we can look at the term real intelligence, we can say real intelligence means to investigate what is our highest interest and to act accordingly. Intelligent human beings do many things which are not intelligent. I gave the example of smoking cigarettes. Not everyone does that. How about having sex? Is that intelligent? Is that a function of the intelligence? Or just some primordial, bestial urge, which is inevitably fraught with so many difficulties which arise if we didn't engage in sex. Of course, the species would not proliferate. Or you could nowadays do some removal of sperm and mix it with the ovum, but the species would not proliferate, but on an individual level would be saved of so many troubles, because with sex life comes so many troubles in so many ways. So it would appear to be not a function of the intelligence, but rather a function of bestiality to engage in sex life. It's an animalistic function. So many things which we do are not intelligent. Why are humans always fighting with each other? Wouldn't it be better if we all cooperated, for instance? It doesn't seem intelligent that so much intelligence in the world is used to pit the military powers one against the other. Why don't we all just cooperate? That's another example. At the individual level, real intelligence means to consider what is our best interest and to act accordingly. To understand what is our best interest, first of all, we have to understand our whole existential position. Who are we, actually? If I consider that I'm this body and I've just come into being as another combination of chemicals which has arisen after a long process going back from a Big Bang and then chemical evolution, biological evolution, then why bother doing anything anyway? If I'm just a bunch of chemicals, why should I? What does it mean to have self-interest? I'm not really a self at all. I'm just a combination of chemicals which came into being a short time ago and in a short time will cease to exist. So why bother at all? If we want to know what our real self-interest is, well, even to think what is our real self-interest, that is the beginning of real intelligence. And then we have to understand, what does it mean? Who am I? What is my self? If I consider I'm not chemicals, I'm not this body, I'm something more than the body, my thought processes transcend the, or amount to more than, that which is encompassed by this body. Who am I? Well, to get answers to these questions, what do we do? Look it up on the internet. Get a bot, some artificial intelligence, to try to search it out. They won't be able to search it out. Without consulting higher spiritual authorities, we won't be able to understand. Because our self is, we are all spiritual beings. Emotions, desires, feelings, sentience arises from the very fact that we are eternal, sentient, spiritual, living beings. And that's something that artificial intelligence can never have. It can never have a sense of I am, I exist. It can be programmed to say such things and maybe act as if having sentience, a sense of I-ness. But that is artificial intelligence. But the actual sense of I-ness, I exist, arises from the very fact that we do exist as infinitesimal, spiritual, living beings, eternal. The body is temporary, I am eternal. Before this body existed, I existed. After it ceases to exist, I will continue to exist. This is all going on the tapestry, on the background, the canvas of a huge cosmic organization, that we are living beings in this material world with desire, trying to find happiness. That is the nature of the conscious living being, to try to find happiness, which artificial intelligence can never do. Artificial intelligence can never strive for happiness because artificial intelligence cannot have a sense of happiness. So we strive for happiness. We strive to do the best thing, to be good. Where does all this arise? This is the very nature of myself. What is the nature of myself? This philosophical search for the understanding of our very selfhood can only arise in real intelligence. And real intelligence means to search out our highest quest in life, our highest goal, our highest benefit for the individual and for everyone else also. Artificial intelligence can be programmed to seek for benefit, but it cannot actually have a sense of what is beneficial or not beneficial. There's no feeling, no sentience. So who am I? Search this out. How will we know? Then we will have to go to those who do have transcendental knowledge. And to make a long story short, long story means it could take many lifetimes of searching to find out, but one can get the answer immediately by consulting the topmost authority on the nature of real intelligence, who is Lord Sri Krishna, who has spoken Bhagavad Gita, and who teaches us that we are not the body, we are eternal spiritual living beings, we are meant for eternal, unfettered bliss. That is what we are meant for. The struggle within this material world to try to be happy in a world which is designed for suffering can never be successful. Why it is designed for suffering, that's another big topic which I won't get into now, but real intelligence means to see, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha dosha anudarshanam, to see that this world is miserable because there is birth, death, old age, and disease, and to seek a solution to this. Real intelligence means to seek out a solution to the problem of suffering, both individually and collectively. Instead of channeling our intelligence into making more and more artificial intelligence for attempting to conquer over the conditions of material existence, to improve our material existence, that is not actually intelligent at all. Because whatever progress we make with technological or robotic advancement, artificial intelligence, this, that, and the other, we will always remain, as long as we are in the material condition, we remain subject to repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. This is the real problem. Real intelligence means to see this. Instead of making tremendously sophisticated attempts to adjust our conditions within the material world, real intelligence means to understand, begin to perceive that the position in this material world is by its very nature not congenial to our well-being, and to seek out the spiritual plane beyond the conditions of material life. This is all described in Bhagavad Gita. Tremendous. If you haven't studied Bhagavad Gita, then if you've listened to this talk, it means you're intelligent, to even begin to understand or to take interest in this. It means your spiritual intelligence is at least beginning to awaken. You deserve it. You owe it to yourself to study Bhagavad Gita, the edition which I have been studying, and so many others have been studying, but I myself have been studying throughout this life, is called Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, which reveals the esoteric truths of Bhagavad Gita in a manner that anyone with a little awakened spiritual intelligence can begin to understand. Importantly, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches that the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, cannot be understood simply by functional intelligence, but it requires a certain attitude also. You see, the machine cannot have an attitude. The attitude is one of submission to the guru, an attitude of devotion to Krishna. With these qualifications, one can begin to understand spiritual knowledge. So intelligence, however much it is developed individually, human intelligence or artificial intelligence, without that attitude, which is not programmable into artificial intelligence, is not possible to understand the spiritual nature. So the difference between real intelligence and artificial intelligence, then we can say one important difference is that real intelligence is accompanied by sentience. It is accompanied by desire, all on the background of consciousness, and it is not a product of matter. Artificial intelligence requires to function within matter, whatever it is. It requires electricity and maybe computer chips or whatever. And we tend to think, or that is the physicalist way of thinking, that human intelligence requires brains, it requires hardware, apparatus, to function. But from Gita and from even from studies of near-death experiences, for instance, out-of-body experiences, we can understand that consciousness, the consciousness of the soul, is ultimately not dependent upon the body. It's not dependent upon the machine. It's independent of the machine. And when we understand that I, as an intelligent, conscious, sentient being, am independent of the machine of this body, I have an eternal, spiritual, blissful nature, then we can start to develop our real intelligence, our spiritual intelligence. Hare Krishna.